Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. What's your vision for your life? It may be to have a certain career. It may be to get married and have a family. It may be to start a charity or be an influence for good in education or politics. Or maybe it's to do some great exploits for God, like to plant a church. Those are some great ambitions. But really, there is no greater vision that you can have for your life than to become like Jesus. That's the vision that God has got for your life, and it's at the heart of discipleship. It's what we've been talking about through this teaching series, that as we follow Jesus, we're with him and we become like him. Let's ask the question, how do we actually do that? Today we're going to look at what for many of us will be a very familiar passage of scripture in Matthew's gospel. And it's going to help us to grasp something of what it means to grow in our dependence on Jesus. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 11 together. Now, if you aren't familiar with the Bible, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. The Old Testament, the chunkier bit at the beginning, is the history of God's people. The New Testament is the record of Jesus's life and the continuing story of his disciples and the early church. Matthew was a tax collector who became a disciple of Jesus. And in his gospel, Matthew has written about the birth of Jesus, the beginning of his ministry, his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and recorded many of the things Jesus has said and done. And then in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is contrasting people who believe in him, expressing faith in who he is, and those who reject him. And we're going to read together, starting from verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Please help us to grasp it today, to understand it, and please help us to apply it to our lives, that it would bear fruit and glorify your holy name. Amen. Jesus told stories or parables using agricultural analogies that would have been easily understandable for his hearers at the time. The yoke was a piece of wood that would be laid across the shoulders of two oxen for them to share the burden of pulling a plow or some other load. And the purpose of that was to help carry the weight, to make burdens easier to bear. And in verse 29, Jesus is inviting people to be yoked, not with an oxen or someone else, but to be yoked together with him. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples, but he's speaking to us as well, saying, "Take my yoke upon you." Every day, we can choose to be yoked to him, to submit to his beautiful, benevolent leadership. Or we can choose to throw it off, to go our own way. But probably that means, inevitably, to just come under the weight of a much heavier yoke. There's yokes in our culture, things like needing affirmation from other people or being addicted to social media. Some people are addicted to alcohol or drugs or maybe pornography or many other addictions. A yoke also has a sense of control, servitude, or slavery. Jesus doesn't want you to be under the control of any of those types of things. The prophet Isaiah wrote in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 58, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke." So a yoke isn't just about sharing a load or carrying a burden. It's also about what you give authority to in your life. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia and said, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Galatians 5:1. We are all yoked or serving something or someone, maybe even enslaved to it. Jesus is inviting us, as we follow him, to be under his yoke. Slavery to anything else is horrific. It takes away our freedom, our power, our very identity. But Jesus tells us in verse 30 that his yoke is easy. It's not a heavy weight of oppression. It's light. When we're yoked to Jesus, we find freedom from every other yoke, and we come under his gracious covering. We experience his love and grace, and we're empowered by his Spirit, and we find our true identity in him. So when we take on Jesus's yoke, it's not so much a kind of slavery as a means of salvation. Perhaps an analogy of the yoke that's maybe easier for us to understand in our culture is being chained or handcuffed to someone else. Now, whilst we probably haven't experienced that, I hope you haven't, we do understand that analogy from films and TV, don't we? Imagine two prisoners chained together who are trying to break out of prison. You wouldn't want to be chained to someone else who hated you or you hated. That's actually the premise of the old film, The Defiant Ones, starring Tony Curtis. He plays a racist white prisoner who's chained to Sidney Poitier's character, who is black. And at the start of the film, they hate one another. But as they escape, they grow in mutual respect and understanding. Now, if you were in that situation, chained together with someone, you would want to be chained or handcuffed to someone you care about and who cares about you and who is physically able to help you. That's the picture of being yoked to Jesus. He's strong and powerful, but he loves you completely. He'll do anything for you. He'll even sacrifice himself so that you can go free. Just think for a moment about what it would be like to be handcuffed to someone, say for a whole day, 24 hours. Even your best friend or your husband or wife. It would be really challenging, wouldn't it? Every time you sit down, they want to get up and get something. Every time one of you needed the loo, the other one has to go with them, not very pleasant. Having to listen to them eat, it would be so annoying. You'd probably want to kill them after a couple of hours. Now, maybe you're all much more patient than I am. But seriously, imagine what that would be like. Well, Jesus actually wants to be yoked to you. Isn't that amazing? He chooses you. He's patient with you. He is kind. He keeps no record of wrongs. It's not like Jesus is thinking, oh, well, I'll put up with them if I have to. The Son of God wants to be joined to you. He wants to be with you every day, every moment. The King of the whole universe wants to be joined to you, and he wants to help you. And he's wanting that, but for us, we have to actively choose to be yoked to Jesus every day. When you take his yoke upon you, you put yourself in the place where you are with him, connected to him. That's what discipleship is. It's a conscious decision to follow Jesus as best as you can. It takes effort. It means if you're connected to him, when Jesus moves, you've got to move. When Jesus rests, you rest. Perhaps the best description of discipleship is not only doing what Jesus tells you to do, but doing and moving with Jesus as he does and moves. Whenever you disobey, you're throwing off his yoke and taking on another. But when you obey, when you follow him, when you're with him, you are yoked with him. And so the question we could ask is, well, who can come to Jesus? Anyone. In verse 28, Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened, that's who can come to him. As Dane Ortlund writes in his book, Gentle and Lowly, you don't need to unburden or collect yourself and then come to Jesus. Your very burden is what qualifies you to come. No payment is required. He says, I will give you rest. His rest is a gift, not a transaction. Whether you're actively working harder to crowbar your life into smoothness or passively finding yourself weighed down by something outside your control, Jesus' desire is that you find rest, that you come in out of the storm, outstrips even your own. Let me say that again. Jesus' desire that you find rest, that you come in out of the storm, outstrips even your own. He goes on to say, this is not who he is to everyone indiscriminately. This is who he is for those who come to him, who take his yoke upon them, who cry to him for help. In our culture, people would say in terms of success or achievement, hitch your wagon to a star. Maybe you've heard that phrase. Well, if you're actually yoked with Jesus, then you have made a very wise decision. The Apostle Paul takes that actually a step further. In Ephesians, he writes that we are in Christ. And that's both wonderfully encouraging and a sobering reality. Whatever you're doing, wherever you go, Christ is with you. Isn't that encouraging and sobering? When you do something in secret that you know to be wrong, Jesus is right there with you. I think that's what Paul is getting at when he writes to the church in Corinth, warning them about sexual immorality. Do you know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Paul's basically saying, do you really want to take Jesus into that situation or do something you know to be wrong? No, of course not. We want to be with Jesus, but go where he's going and follow him. When we shrug off Jesus's yoke, when we get separated from him, that's when things go wrong. And that's what sin is. If you know me, I love a good analogy or picture. I think of sin a bit like a downward escalator. No matter how much we try and do the right thing, our tendency is down towards sin, doing the thing we know to be wrong. It's like trying to walk up a down escalator. You've got to work pretty hard just to stand still, let alone make progress. But your tendency, because you're on the down escalator, is towards doing the wrong thing. Paul writes about that when he says in Romans 7, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I mean, what an amazing description of the human condition. But if we're yoked with Jesus, if we're connected to him, if we're in him, he's done for us what we could never do. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He demonstrated what a holy life looks like. Jesus is on the up escalator, even as we're going down. But in Jesus's death on the cross and his rising from the dead and his ascension to heaven, he has stretched out a hand. Many of us have taken hold of that hand of rescue and in faith have said, Jesus, please save me. Save me from myself. Save me from sin and death. And take me with you where you're going. Take me with you into relationship with the Father and an eternity enjoying God's presence in heaven. And if you've never done that before, it's that easy. In faith, reach out to Jesus. What I'm going to do now is I'm just going to pray a simple prayer of commitment to Jesus. And if you've never done that before, you can do that now and pray along with me if you would like to. Let's pray together. Jesus, I know I am sinful. I fall short of your perfect standard. And even when I want to do the right thing, I so often do the wrong thing. In faith, I want to reach out and take your hand. Please rescue me. Save me from myself. Save me from sin and death. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died in my place to take the punishment for sin that I deserved. And I believe you rose again to conquer sin and death and set me free. Please forgive me. I want to follow you. I want to put my hand in yours and I commit my life to you right now. I want to be with you. I want to become like you. Please change me by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. If anyone prayed that prayer with me, I am so delighted. You've made probably the best decision of your life. And if you did that, I'd love you to talk to somebody, whether you're at one of our services, you know, chat to me or chat to the person who's leading the service, or maybe someone that you came along with or someone that you know. Please talk to us. We'd love to encourage you and help you as you take your first steps in following Jesus. If you're watching this online or catching up later, please email in and let us know. We'd love to support you and help you. And for those of us who are already following Jesus, I want to remind you of the truth that you are in Christ. You are yoked with him. If we pick up that analogy of the escalators, you are handcuffed to Jesus by faith, and he's on the up escalator. Your trajectory is actually totally changed. It's like he's pulled you across. You can't keep going down while he's going up, and you're not going to pull Jesus down. He's pulling you up with him. He's pulled you over to the up escalator. Your trajectory has completely changed. Your tendency is now not to sin. His Spirit is at work in you to will and to desire to live a godly life. You're a new creation. You have a new nature. God empowers you by his Spirit to live for him. So you're not trying to struggle up the down escalator by willpower alone. You've moved over to the up escalator. So life's not just a struggle to survive. It's the presence of God to experience and enjoy every day. When you wake up, Jesus is with you by his Spirit, and you are in Christ, yoked, handcuffed, connected to him, cannot be separated. And every morning when you get out of bed and put your feet on the floor, you step onto the up escalator of life in Christ. The potential to experience more of God's grace in your life, to receive more blessing, to understand more of how he loves you, to sense his peace, and so much potential for him to work in you so that you can think, where are you going to take me today, Lord? Who can we bless? Who can we help? Who can we show love and kindness to? Who can we serve? There's this sense of faith and anticipation. And whatever life throws at us, and oh man, life does throw some crazy things at us, whether it's a cancer diagnosis, the loss of a job, a breakdown in a relationship, a child who's struggling, whatever it is, we're connected to Jesus. We're in him, and we're on the up escalator of life in him. So all the rubbish that can get thrown at us, I mean, imagine being on that escalator and the devil is at the top and he's throwing everything he can at you to take you down, to knock you off. Like what Kevin does to the robbers who are breaking in Home Alone. Paint cans swinging down on ropes and tool chests bouncing down on the stairs. Sometimes it can feel like that, can't it? It feels like, Jesus, I want to live for you, but I keep getting hit. It's like another hit, trying to knock you off, knock you down. Some of the things life throws at us, we wouldn't survive on our own. We literally wouldn't have the strength to carry on. But Jesus is with us. As I was preparing, I could see in the Spirit, all of us on that escalator with Jesus. As some of those things come down onto us, being thrown at us, I can see Jesus stepping in front, taking the blows. Things that would take us out, that would flatten us, he bears the brunt of it. And in him, we're lifted. Our trajectory is set. In John chapter 14, Jesus says to his followers, do not let your hearts be troubled, because in my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you. Our trajectory is set. I feel like some of us just need to hear that truth today. You're going to be with Jesus by faith in him, and nothing can stop it. We will be with him forever. I believe God wants to bring about a total change in our attitudes today, an adjustment in our thinking. It's a gift of faith by the hearing of the word and through faith in our hearts, a new way of seeing what discipleship is, that we're yoked with Jesus, that we're in him. Jesus said in verse 27, "No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." We're in Christ. We're connected to him. And in Jesus, we know the Father. We share in that incredible, awesome relationship. Will you receive it today by faith? Will you live in the good of it? Sometimes we lose our way. We need reminding of the inheritance we have. It's ours. Jesus has won it for us. I want to live in the good of it every day. I want to help all of you to live in the good of it. So let me ask you, what are the things that are going to most help you feel connected to Jesus, to be yoked to him? And I want to encourage you, do those things. Just to close, a little bit of my story. When I was a new Christian, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know about church. I didn't know what Christians or disciples are supposed to do. I didn't know how to read the Bible. I didn't know how to pray. I needed to learn. I needed to learn how to walk through life with God. So I started a journey of discipleship. There were key people who spent time with me reading the Bible and praying. I learned that I needed Christian brothers and sisters who would encourage me and pray for me and occasionally challenge me. I got that through being in small groups and teams. I also needed to be taught and inspired. I learned to love the church through hearing preaching in my local church and at Stoneleigh Bible Week and the Brighton Leaders Conference. I learned about the importance of leadership through preaching and the example of godly leaders, both men and women. I devoured books by believers who love God, love the church, and love people. And all of those things have helped me to grow in dependence on Jesus and to walk closely with him. And that's what I'm still doing today. After all these years, I want to be with Jesus. He wants to be yoked to me. I long to be yoked to him. And that's my prayer for you too. So what would it be for you? What helps you to be close to Jesus? Maybe you need to find a group to be part of. Maybe you need some more teaching. Maybe you need to read more. Maybe it's about friendships. Whatever it is, do those things as often as you can. Jesus invites you. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God bless you this week.